Neighbors Helping Neighbors.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama heads to Mexico today on his way to that big summit in Trinidad and Tobago. From the Marketplace America's desk in Miami, Dan Gretsch joins us. Dan, with all the president has to do in this country, why is Mexico such a big priority?
There's one simple reason: drug violence. There have been 10,000 murders in the last 2 years because of Mexico drug gangs, and a lot of that violence has started to spread across the border into the U.S. There's another small issue that Obama needs to deal with, which is we're in the middle of a trade war with Mexico right now. We agreed to allow Mexican truckers back in 1995 to drive into the U.S., and the Teamsters Union has blocked that ever since. So Mexico finally retaliated and put tariffs on 90 U.S. products.
And how is the American recession affecting Mexico and Latin America in general?
You know, Mexico's economy has been crushed by the U.S. recession. They have seen a 30% devaluation of the peso as foreign investors flee Mexico, even though there's nothing fundamentally wrong with their economy there.
Okay, so up next, as we said, the Summit of the Americas. The president travels to that tomorrow. What's he hope to accomplish there?
Well, sort of like in Mexico, the entirety of Latin America has felt a huge hit from the U.S. recession. And there's a lot of resentment about this. These are countries that worked really hard in recent years and at the U.S.'s urging to fix their economies, to privatize, to make their banks work. They've done well. And the U.S. messed up, and Mexico and the rest of Latin America have felt it in the form of less foreign investment and huge devaluations. So President Obama does have a lot to answer for, though there is some hope that he'll be able to bring a new tone to the relationship.
Dan Gretsch at the Marketplace America's desk in Miami. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Bill.
Big earnings news this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase says last quarter's profits were down 13% from last year, but still, it earned $2.1 billion, and that is better than analysts were expecting. Google reports earnings later today. Wall Street is expecting some growth last quarter, but the future is less clear. Google has stumbled lately with investments in new media sites like YouTube. Here's Marketplace's Rico Galliano.
Google doesn't break out most of its division's earnings, but analysts have estimates about the cash YouTube generates, and the consensus is not much. Youssef Scully is internet analyst at Jefferies & Company.
YouTube is still a very, very small percentage of Google's revenues, 1 to 2%.
That's 200 to 500 million bucks a year by his figures. Not enough to turn a profit, and not the performance some analysts expect from a $1.65 billion acquisition. But Scully predicts that'll change as YouTube downplays its image as the place for amateur pet trick videos.
Recently, they signed a deal with Disney for short-form content. The idea there is if you create professionally created content, advertisers will want to advertise against it. We believe it will work.
He's less sure about any potential deal between Google and another new media service, Twitter. Rumors abound Google's in the running to buy or partner with the popular site. Scully says Twitter might have technological value, but business-wise, no one knows how to actually make money off it yet. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Asian markets were mixed on the day. European shares, though, have turned up 1 to 2%. Yesterday, the Dow retook the 8,000 mark, adding 109 points to 8,029. A major bankruptcy this morning. Giant shopping mall owner General Growth Properties out of business. It's one of the biggest commercial real estate collapses in U.S. history, and a reminder that it's not just residential real estate that's struggling.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying a load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The tax deadline's behind us now, and I'm sure that you were 100% compliant. Sadly, not everyone is as helpful. Our government loses an estimated $100 billion every year through tax evasion. At the G20 summit in London a couple of weeks ago, the U.S. and other big economies promised to crack down on tax havens. But campaigners meeting last night in London said the crackdown was not tough enough. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The G20 set up a blacklist for tax havens that refuse to mend their ways. If they fail to toe the line before the end of this year, they could be hit with economic sanctions. But that is just one small, tentative step in the right direction, says Adam Lent, a Labour unionist who was at last night's rally.
The sorts of international standards they are asking the tax havens to meet are actually quite weak and won't have a huge amount of bite.
The havens have been told that to get off the blacklist, they must sign information-sharing agreements with at least 12 other countries. But these agreements are not as effective as they seem, says Richard Murphy of the Tax Justice Network. He points to the example of the US and the island of Jersey.
The US and Jersey have had a tax information exchange agreement since 2002. And here we are in 2009, and just 5 pieces of information have been sent to the USA. Now, that is not really effective information exchange.
The problem, he says, is that the US has to request the information, and the island insists on a lot of information before it will release any. It requires the US to give details of the suspected evaders' financial arrangements in Jersey, details which are often hidden behind anonymous trusts.
The way round this problem is to not have information exchange agreements on request, which is what the G20 has gone for, but to go for automatic information exchange.
Murphy says the haven should automatically notify countries when their nationals open accounts. That way, governments could bring in more tax revenue to bridge ever-growing deficits. Murphy claims the havens magnified the economic crisis, that their secrecy helped the banks create toxic assets. He says it's only fair havens should bear some of the cost of cleaning up the mess. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. I appreciate you tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.